Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. The St. Louis Sheriff's Office is eliciting an awful lot of drama for a post with marginal amounts of power. Since entering office earlier this year, Sheriff Alfred Montgomery encountered too many controversies to list without engaging in an epic run-on sentence. And he's now being held in federal custody for violating terms of his bond, which includes accusations of using a secret burner phone to intimidate witnesses. For the past week in a state trial, Montgomery's attorneys and lawyers with the Missouri Attorney General's office quarreled over whether the Democratic official should lose his elected post. The judicial proceeding has featured some testy exchanges and some surprises, and here to give his insights is St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz, who has been covering what's known as the Quo Warranto trial. Brian, welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Before we get to Montgomery's woes, Brian, can you just remind us of what the St. Louis Sheriff actually does? Because the duties of the office are pretty limited, and that may be the source of Montgomery's problems.
Yeah, so the duties of this office are pretty limited in scope, unlike other sheriff's offices in other Missouri counties, or even the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. Really, the St. Louis Sheriff's Office is only responsible for transporting detainees to the courts whenever they have to appear, serving legal notices like evictions, hosting the land tax sale. There's not as much as one may think, but it was definitely still a tall order, you know, and a big job that comes with about a $14 million a year budget.
Montgomery has encountered just a breathtaking amount of controversy in less than 12 months on the job, and I'm going to try to list every bit of it here. There was an anecdote about how he may have used golden dice to fire an employee, the purchase of new badges, new uniforms, new golf carts, his budget being rapidly depleted, his refusal, at least for a time, to transfer prisoners in need of medical care. Why do you think there's been so much drama for an office that, frankly, is not that significant in the grand scheme of things?
That's a really hard question to answer. I think, you know, it's a question a lot of St. Louisans and those that follow this are asking themselves, exactly how did we get to this point? But it all really started with now Sheriff Montgomery, who's being held in federal custody, handing out these letters ahead of him taking office, telling former Sheriff Vernon Betz's top brass, hey, you know, we don't align in vision. I'm getting rid of you. So if you want to take your vacation time or whatnot, you know, I'm giving you the courtesy. And that, I think, is how it really started. But some bigger picture political observers I've spoken with have said this is just a case of personalities and people coming in and not having an understanding of what exactly this office is supposed to do.
There are basically two legal cases that have ensnared Montgomery. Let's start with what's known as the Quo Warranto trial you have been covering with St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis. Brian, why is Attorney General Catherine Hanaway's office trying to oust Montgomery?
There's six charges that the Attorney General's office is using to try to compel Judge Stephen R. Omer that, hey, this is enough to show that Alfred Montgomery is not completing the duties of his office and is being willfully negligent to what the voters elected him to do. Those include handcuffing then acting jail commissioner Tammy Ross, disarming a former sheriff's deputy who the sheriff's office alleges was impersonating a deputy, refusing to transport and supervise hospital detainees, misusing of public resources through these lavish expenditures, or what some argue are lavish expenditures, financial mismanagement. Also as part of this was an allegation that then Sergeant Barbara Shavers was taking kids to and from school with a company vehicle or with a city vehicle while on the clock. And the last count was one that the Attorney General's office had filed recently, when they dropped a nepotism charge, and essentially saying, hey, you can't devote time to the office because you're currently behind bars.
And can you explain why Montgomery is facing federal charges, which is what has him incarcerated right now?
So Sheriff Montgomery is facing a federal misdemeanor over the handcuffing of Tammy Ross in a separate case that really shouldn't have anything to do with a state case, but he is. And as part of that, he was put on house arrest and, you know, spoke with pretrial services, essentially the people that put the ankle monitor on him and, you know, talked to him ahead of time to make sure he understands everything. They asked him, how many guns do you have? He gave a number and he had significantly more than that, actually. And he also was found on recording to use an unauthorized or unreported phone to allegedly harass witnesses and those cooperating with the federal government. So those violations of his bond landed him in a federal custody or in a prison down in Pinckneyville, Illinois.
So this trial has been, as the kids say, wild. There are almost too many things to really go over here. But Brian, if you could describe the basic argument that the Attorney General's office is making, what would it be?
The Attorney General's office is saying that Sheriff Alfred Montgomery knowingly didn't do the things that he was prescribed to do, that he did things that he wasn't legally allowed to do, and that he essentially, over six counts, you know, six different reasons, proved that he had forfeited his office and that he should be immediately removed.
And what defense is Montgomery's attorneys putting up to prevent him from being ousted?
The sheriff's legal team, which includes retired judge and now staff attorney David C. Mason, former federal prosecutor and attorney Justin Gelfand, and attorney Matt Gio, really put up a strong argument that, you know, the witnesses called to the stand by the state are not credible, that they each have their own personal squabbles with the sheriff, you know, that relate to employment or other things. Those people that claimed retaliation actually were disciplined, or some of them not disciplined even, but were offered disciplinary hearings due to their actions on the job. So it seems like the sheriff's attorney's strategy was to try to discredit and impeach as many witnesses as they were able to.
For somebody who wanted to be at this trial of the month or week or century, however you want to describe it, what was it like being inside the courtroom on a day-to-day basis?
Jason, I'm going to be honest. It felt a little bit like Groundhog Day, and the judge said as much, at least one of the days of the trial. It was just a rehashing of many of these arguments that have been rehashed, you know, in the 22nd Judicial Circuit, but also in the Court of Public Opinion. So just an excruciating detail, how events played out, what, you know, who saw what, how are things supposed to operate, things of that nature. It was a surprising scene. Maybe not surprising is the right word, but an eyebrow-raising scene to watch Sheriff Montgomery walk in with his ankles shackled and his hands shackled to his waist. You know, he came in every morning. They sat him down. And yeah, that was really a sight to see throughout the trial. The trial did have a delay in the start, though, because the first day, which was supposed to be last Tuesday, Sheriff Montgomery was still in federal custody. The federal judge had not decided on whether or not he was going to allow Montgomery to attend the state trial. So the attorneys for both the state and the defense had to go to the federal government and say, hey, you know, Judge Omer's requesting that he's there because of the argument that you should be able to efface your accuser while you're, you know, defending yourself in court.
Did you get a sense of which way the judge may be leaning here?
I'm not really a betting man, and I don't know that that's a bet I want to put money on. I think at several points, you know, Judge Omer was nodding when the state was arguing, but also nodding when Montgomery's side was arguing. Although the judge had to interject on David Mason several times and just remind him, hey, you're representing Alfred Montgomery. You're not representing yourself. Whatever personal squabbles you have with folks, you know, in your duty as a staff administrator, you know, that doesn't pertain to what you're arguing right now. So I think, you know, those were some moments that those of us in the courtroom were kind of like, oh, you know, not expecting the judge to kind of get snippy with the defense attorney. But yeah, it's really hard to say. I think, you know, both sides did an excellent job in trying to defend their clients appropriately. So it's now a matter of time.
Brian Munoz is STLPR's visuals editor. He spent the last few months covering all things Alfred Montgomery, and the people of St. Louis salute your perseverance. Brian, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Jason, as always.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.